Galatians chapter 3. We'll say welcome to, is it Cindy or Cynthia? Cindy, okay. All right. I would imagine that you've already introduced yourself to everybody.
It was very gracious.
Okay. That's great. Very gracious. That's a good word. Very gracious. All right. Galatians chapter 3. We left off last week, verse 9, somewhat. We found out that the blessing.
What chapter?
Chapter 3. Verse 9, the blessing came from through faith. As we learned from Abraham, when God gave the example about Abraham using or being justified by faith only and not by works. Do you remember we talked about that? Or how did Abraham receive righteousness? By believing God, just the promise that God gave him. He didn't have any, he didn't do anything but believe God. And God, it said, scripture says, in it was imputed or counted to him for righteousness, his faith. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
I just think that where here's Abraham, and all he does is hear that God made him a promise, and he said, I believe it, and God says, well, you're righteous.
That's amazing.
Nothing to do. And in Romans, we looked at the verse where he says, and Abraham was not weak in faith, right? But he was strong in faith. That was in chapter 4. He was strong in faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, that what God had promised, that he was able also to perform. And that's great, isn't it? And so Paul is using this like Abraham. He said, you got it just like Abraham.
I got it just like Abraham?
You got it just like Abraham. That is righteousness.
Yes.
So you are, I mean, don't disconnect yourself just that fast. Well, you have to think about all Abraham did was what?
Believe.
He believed what?
God's word.
God's word, God's promise. So the Galatians, Paul said this, how did you get the Spirit? Galatians, was it by the works of the law?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you hear the promise to you? And they have to say what?
We heard
the promise. So how many times did, well, I didn't hear it a lot, but when you sit somewhere and they say Christ died for your sins. This is God. This is God's word to us. Christ died for our sins. All of them.
Mm-hmm.
He was buried and he rose again the third day. And Paul said this, that's the gospel of your salvation. That's it. And that's the promise to you. Now, how would you receive that? How do you receive that?
But for a long time, I thought I had to add some things to it because that's what I always heard everywhere.
And that's why Paul said, I marvel. That's what the Galatians said, that you were so soon removed from this gospel to another. I know, same thing. I went somewhere, sat there, and wanted to be saved. I wanted to believe. I mean, like Ed said, he would pray to God that if it's okay that I just really want it.
Right.
You know, and it's not okay that he would really want it because God had made it, has made it available for him to really get it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's free. Right?
Yes.
By grace are you saved through
faith.
It is the
gift of God.
So I'm asking you this. Well, this is what happens when you don't rightly divide Scripture. Where Paul is the only writer that says it's a gift to be received by faith alone. I guess I'm stuck on here before we go forward because it sounds really easy. It sounds really simple. But something keeps us from embracing God's promise to us. Doesn't it?
It's against human wisdom.
They say, if you go out and say, is that it? That's it. Faith. And he says, look at verse, now we'll get into this. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And we talked about that last week. Is how many do you have to do?
All of them.
You have to do them all. Not selective. It's not arbitrary. It's not elective.
It's all.
It's all. God says if you pick this bushel, you got to pick the whole row. You start off here. If you pick one, this is, well, you have to keep the Sabbath. Well, the Sabbath connects you to all the rest of it, too.
Sure.
You can't separate them. Did you know that? It's in here, right? Anybody know the scripture? You can quote it. No, I mean that where you got it. If you pick one, you got to do them all.
James 2:10.
You have it.
James 2:10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all.
Is guilty of all, right? And you can't separate them. So you can't say, well, I got all of them right but one. like the rich young ruler, where he says, what must I do? He says, I've done all these. The Lord gave him, he says, you know the commandments. And he gave him, I think he gave him three. And he says, well, I've done all those from my youth up. He said, what lack I? And you know what? I shouldn't say this, but I'll say it anyway. We used to play cards when I was younger, some time ago, spades. And you know, if you plan and you have the one, like you might have the high suits. And then when you plan them out and maybe you think you got a book and then somebody will come out and they'll hit you with that trump card. I think that's the Lord did to the rich young ruler, where he lays out, oh, I've done this. And the Lord pulls a trump card out and said, what about that? And he says, sell all you have. And he says, wow. And what happened? He went away because he had much possessions.
That's the only time that Christ said that, though. Don't you think it was because of that man's heart? He knew that money.
Right, because he thought that he was righteous. He was self-righteous. So when the Lord says that, sell all you have, and because of the 10th commandment, I think we looked at this. The 10th commandment is, thou shalt not what?
Covet.
He loved his money more than God. And covetousness is, as Colossians says, covetousness is what? Idolatry. So he broke number 10, which means he broke, we just found it. He broke them all, didn't he? That's why it's kind of like the Lord gives him just enough rope to hang himself. So he says, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. And he says, really? So you think you're pretty righteous then, right? And then he puts that one on him that he knows he can't keep. And he says, well, sell all you have. And he went away. That reveals a man's heart. And we looked at last week, the law was not written for a righteous man. So when we find out the law, as Romans 3 says, the law was given that every mouth might be stopped. And all the world become guilty before God. Not us, not each other. Because we might, oh, he's pretty good. I'm better than him. But before God, we're all what? We're all guilty.
Every one of us.
Every one of us. So if you're guilty, you're under the curse. Right? We just read it. He says, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in some of the things. And what? All things written in the book of the law to what? Not to want to do them, but to what?
To do them.
To do them.
But that's for them that are under the law, right?
That's for them that are under the law, right? I think the ones that are not under the law, or maybe we should cover that then too. Look at, before we do that, look at Romans, since Ed brought that up.
Romans where?
Romans 2. Well, we'll start at verse 1. We might squeeze through here. Romans 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Now, the list he's talking about is in chapter 1, verses 29 or 28 down. All right, well, we might as well hit this list. Because there were some people saying, I'm not a sinner. Kind of like today. So he says, when you knew God without the law, you didn't worship him as God. You didn't serve him as God. And God gave him up for that reason. In verse 28, he says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now he lists all these sins, and he says, this is what we do. We say, we not only do them, but we have pleasure in those that do them. You say, not me. All you have to do is think about it. What's your TV schedule?
Yeah.
I said, what's your TV schedule? When you think about the shows that we watch and you read this, God says you not only have pleasure in sin, you not only do it, but you have pleasure in them that do it. You say, oh, that's just a TV show. No, that's just your wickedness. We like that. And we tune into that. And God says, for that reason, you're without excuse. You're worthy of judgment. Hello? Is God right? You can't argue with that, can you? He says, for that reason, now, he said this, verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Here we go. For as many have sinned, what?
Without
law, shall also perish, what? Without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. So God's, that's why he goes back to Romans. He says, none of you will escape the righteous judgment of God. He's right to condemn us, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Now, I can tell you, you shouldn't do that, or you shouldn't say that, or you shouldn't think like that, or you shouldn't watch that. But I can say that, but you can do what?
Say the same thing.
You say the same thing with me. So we're admitting that we're all what?
Sinners.
We're all wrong. So why would I measure you and you can measure me, but we both come up what?
Short.
We both come up. All have sinned and come what?
Short of the glory of God.
That's why, all right. That's why he says you, it's like he's very, Paul, when he sets forth, he's very logical in his sequence. Because he's got to get you lost. Good and lost. Because he's a good lawyer building his case. And the verdict is what?
Guilty.
Your actions say you're guilty. Your mind says you're guilty. Your peers say you're guilty. Don't they? And God says you're guilty. Guess what? You're guilty. There's no way out. That's what you would think, right? But the same book in chapter 3,
Galatians,
Romans 3, then we'll jump back to Galatians. He says, but verse 3:21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, upon all, or unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his
grace
through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So he says, those two words, but now.
Yes.
Paul is declaring now, like you said, we're all doomed. He says, yeah, you were. But, that's a good word, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Contrast and comparison. You were here, But now you're here. Or you were in this predicament, but now Paul has some good news. He says the righteousness of God, and we say without law, but we're all familiar with here, without performing, without your performance. Now, well, we pretty much know, but if you sat down 10 people and says, I want you to write on this paper what you have to do to please God.
Excuse me.
You think you'd get somebody that will give you 10 things?
Sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Why?
Because they think they have to do all those things.
They haven't heard about the righteousness of God without
performance.
Without their performance, put it that way. But you know what I'd write? You can put on there, you can say, Christ. Number two, Christ. Three, Christ. Four, Christ. And you can go down all the way to 10. His works. My name wouldn't be anywhere on that list at all.
You said none of us will be there on that list.
Your name, no. Because you know what? That's like taking a test. The minute you put Christ, why should you be counted righteous? And you say because of Christ, because of Christ, because of Christ, because of Christ. And then you get down here and you say because of Frank. You failed. That doesn't even look right, does it? He said, verse 3, or chapter 3, he says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of
Jesus.
That's his faithfulness. And we've been, every week we talk about it, right? It's his performance that we rest in. We found out last week when he said it's finished. Did he leave anything off? And he proved it. He said it, didn't he? When he was on the cross, he looked around and he said, seeing that all things were what?
Now accomplished.
He bowed his head.
He gave up the ghost.
And he gave up the ghost. And he said,
It is finished.
Everything that God demanded for righteousness, who did it?
Jesus Christ.
What about this fellow right here?
He was the one hanging on the side of it over there.
That's right.
That was the bad one.
Right.
That was the one that didn't recognize him.
That's right. Now, I want to be the recipient of that righteousness. And he says, it's unto all and upon all them that what? That believe, for there's no difference. Now, we are justified. You know what justified means, right? Being what?
Declared righteous
before God, right. You know, I think when I see that word, I always think about justifiable homicide. You know when they say that, you know what that means?
Means it was okay to do it.
That means it was okay. It means that I had a reason why this was okay. He was breaking into my house and I was under duress, or I felt like my life was threatened. So in that case, it was justifiable. We understand you're not guilty for that reason. But we've been justified freely. When God looks at us, he says, what have you done? He said, you're all guilty.
What now?
They're all guilty, right? He wouldn't say, well, you know what? I can justify her because of this. He looks and says, none of them deserve it. But I'll do it. On what grounds?
On
the grounds of Christ and his grace. Isn't that something? He said, you don't deserve it, but I'll give it to you. Now, before we get back to Galatians, why is he doing this for us?
He wants to redeem us.
He found out the law didn't work.
He wants to redeem us.
He loves us.
He loves us. You know what? And I'm going to say this. This might sound strange, but I'm going to say this. That's true, Cindy. But I would say that was secondary.
What did she say?
She said he loves us because he loves us. And that's true. When I say second, and I'll explain that, but I mean a real close second, though.
Are you saying he redeemed us for a purpose?
Purpose. But it's more, this has to be satisfied, his justice has to be satisfied first. And then he can carry his purpose out. Because he loves us, he can say this, I want to use them. But there's some things that have to be satisfied legally. Give us redemption. Justification. You know those words we were talking about? Some justification, redemption, condemnation. What is that? What is those? What do they sound like to you?
Sounds pretty serious.
Propitiation.
Legal.
Imputation. What?
Legal.
They're legal things. Legal terms. Where God is. Remind me of a commercial that some time ago where the little kid, he said, we're doing business here. God is doing, he's doing business. And nobody will ever get to God and say, well, you goofed on this one. Or, oh, look at, we're still here, Romans 3. Look at 3, look at verse 26. 3:26. Well, you know, we might as well read 25. It says, we're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. There you go. Got any invoice out here? Remit. When you please remit, what does that mean?
Amen.
When you doing the invoices?
Send in or pay.
Pay me. Send your payment here. Well, Christ says the what makes the payment? Remission of sins through his blood. Right? That's legal. Remit? Please remit? Is that legal? Don't say yeah if you don't believe it. That's legal, right? Okay. He says, through the sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be what?
Just.
He might be what?
Just.
Just and the what?
Justifier
of him that believeth in Jesus. He didn't say to declare his righteousness because he loves us. You see what's missing in here? What's missing in this whole chapter? Love. It's not even in there. He says, first thing is justice.
Can I just say something?
You can say something, yeah.
In verse 21, I think that's really what's the title of what you're talking about. It says, but now the righteousness of God without the law. How could he be righteous and not hold us to the law that's his law?
Right.
So he's really showing us how he could be righteous and yet relieve us from the law. Right?
And how could he do that?
Through Jesus Christ.
And even because what he did, Christ did, was what? For the law. Well, we found, you weren't here. You weren't here. Yeah. Last week, he kept the law what? He came in the flesh and condemned sin in the flesh. He kept the law.
Right.
And he said, that satisfies
justice.
So, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll get over there in a second. But God has to be just and the justifier. So nobody could come to him and say, you can't declare him righteous. And God can say what?
Sure I can.
Sure I can. On the basis of what?
My son did.
And really?
Paid in full.
It was, and really, who is his son?
God.
What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?
The Son of God.
And the Jews knew, well, okay, Galatians. So, we see this. It's God being able to not only legally redeem us, because, I mean, the very word law is what?
Legal.
It's legal. Right?
Yeah.
You're under the law. And he says, before I can use you, I have to redeem you from under. Okay. Now, back to Galatians. Matter of fact, Romans 7 says that we were carnal,
sold
under what? Sin. All right. Galatians 3. So, verse 11.
Okay.
So this should really make sense for us now. He says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Did we find one? Did you find one that can do them?
No.
We did find one.
Christ. The Son of God.
But he what? But he was God? That's what you said?
Yes.
Yes. And but we found one. But what happened?
He died.
Why?
Because he fulfilled the law while he was here.
But the law says if you can do it, you'll what? You'll live. But he died.
Well, he died in flesh and lived in spirit.
He died. He wasn't supposed to die. Why did he keep the law perfectly and yet he still died?
To pay for us.
Right. To pay for us. Right. Very next verse. Okay. 13. Christ hath what?
Redeemed
us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Deuteronomy says, if any man hath committed a sin worthy of death, put him on a tree. So everybody will know that's a sinner. So when they put Christ and hung him out on a tree, they're telling everybody what?
Sinner.
But it wasn't true.
No.
Because God's making the transaction. A transaction that he knew about. Christ knew about. We didn't know about it. Nobody knew about it until Paul came and said, let me tell you about it. But now, let me tell you about the deal that went on behind the scenes. Right? That's what part of the mystery is some, but he says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, here we go. He says, for the to be redeemed from the curse is we know we're sold under sin, right? You know that, and really you're sentenced for death.
Yeah.
You're just waiting. And what how this connects to Abraham is, I get another piece of chalk here, is God says, Abraham, you're righteous, right? Right? But he made a, this connects back to last week. Last week, when God says to Abraham that I'll bless you, right? Because of his faith. He says, I'll bless you. He says, you've been imputed righteousness. Right?
Yes.
He says, you are an heir. Which means that you have an inheritance. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Abraham got all this. But by us being, we're not directly the seed of Abraham. He says, I'm giving it to your seed, the righteous seed. They're the ones that get all this. Well, that excludes us. Because we're under the what? We're under the curse. We're under the curse. So Abraham, which was before the law, he says, now, through your seed's going to get this, these blessings, all this. And it says, okay, the Jews thought it was them through the law. Okay? But they didn't realize that chapter 15 comes before chapter 17. You know what happened in 17? He got circumcised.
Oh, okay.
But he got a promise. He God always reiterated the promise to him. But 17 he got circumcised. 17 he what?
He was covenant.
He covenant? Right, it was a covenant. 17 he
performed.
Yes. 17 he worked.
Yes.
That's why they say circumcision was the very first building block of the law. That's why you get over to Galatians and it says you got to be circumcised and which excluded them from this. They didn't know that. That's so Christ hath redeemed us from the law that we might be what? That the blessing of Abraham might come on us. Through what?
Through Jesus Christ.
Through Jesus Christ. And we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
A whole new way.
So, what were the Galatians, what were they doing when they went back under the law?
Performing.
Okay, here they are. I just put a G there. They already have it, right? If they got it by faith, so they already have the blessing, right? They already have whatever righteousness. They already have the Spirit. They're already heirs. They're already part of the inheritance, right? If they were like Abraham.
Right.
Because Christ, he made the connection, right?
Right.
That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the minute they said, well, we're going to go back to this. What happens?
They've lost.
They, what they're saying is, well, we really don't have this. We got to go back and do what? Work for it.
They're not living in the reality of that.
They feel like they're not living in the reality of what has already been accomplished. They feel like we got to go back and do what?
Perform.
But really, there's no way you can get it through this. He's already proved it. You're going right back under what?
Bondage.
The curse. The bondage.
The impossible situation.
It's impossible. They would never. He says, don't you hear the law? Isn't that what he told him? Don't you hear this? He said, okay, verse Look at verse, and we'll come back to that. Verse 3:21. He says, "Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law which could have given life, verily what? Righteousness would have come." He said, look, if this could give you this, then that would be the way. Isn't that, that's kind of like,
it's elementary.
Watson? Right. He says, what? Now, he says, verse 15, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or added thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed, were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." So when he made the promise way back, God says, through your seed, I'm going to bless everybody.
Coming through Christ.
Now, he's thinking, what people think is right. They think Jews. But he said, no, I mean Jew. Not Jews. The Jew. The one. And he says, who, and really, who is it?
Christ.
Who is it?
Jesus Christ.
Who is it?
God.
Thank you. It's God himself in the flesh to know that God was in
Christ. Reconciling the world.
There you go. There you go. That's not imputing. So, verse 17. "And this I say, that the covenant, which was what?
Confirmed.
Which was confirmed
before God,
in Christ. Before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise." 15 comes before 17, unless you're negative. But he says, this won't change what God promised Abraham. We get this through Christ. We get the blessings, we get the righteousness, we get to be an heir, we get the inheritance, we get all that because of Christ's performance. And God promised it because he said, in your seed, Abraham, I'll bless. Well, what's the purpose of this? We'll find out next week.
Lead you to the sea.
We'll find out next week, right? So, you know, and I was reading something. This was, I don't know if what it was in one of my legal dictionaries. It wasn't the one I normally look at because it's packed up. But, is that next week maybe? But anyway, it was a process of, It's like a contract is binding, but it's contingent. It's like you'll get the righteousness if. So it's like this. You can be an heir, and this is how it is. You can be an heir. You get all these things. You can be an heir. You get an inheritance if you're righteous. If you're not righteous, you don't get to be an heir. You don't get an inheritance. Or if it's, I think it was executory. I can't remember, but I'll think of it. He says, or you get to be an heir when
you become righteous.
And so it find out, well, when do you become righteous? But the whole point rest on it is, until you are righteous, you're excluded from this.
And then it just told us that righteousness can't come by the law. So all these poor Christians that are trying to work away and work their way to righteousness will never get there.
They'll never get it. They'll never get it. Because it has to be given to you. So you can say, oh, you might find your own standard of righteousness, but you won't be an heir. So the Gentiles and these in the Galatians, Paul preaches Christ. They believe it. They're there. And then here comes a non-heir and comes in and says, who told you you were an heir? You're not an heir. You got to do this. And they put him right back under performance. Do you remember Jacob and Esau? Remember that? Where the firstborn usually got the birthright, didn't he? And Jacob, he didn't know that God had already determined that he would be the what? He would get the heir. He would be the firstborn. So he tried to manipulate his way to being an heir. Do you remember that? And when the deal went down, when he finally found out that when God says, I had you in mind, all that stuff you did, all those shenanigans, you didn't have to do that. I wanted to give you that so you would know that it wasn't you. So he's out one night running from his brother, and he lays down and he has a dream. And he sees what? And he said, this is none other but the house of God. But you know what? His grandfather and his father, Isaac, had been telling them, God's going to bless us. Look at this verse. Look at Genesis, I think it's 22. Hold your hand in Galatians, though, 22. I just want to show you what he said, because this is how, when you really find out that Christ did it all, this is what you're going to say.
What's that?
22. I think it's 22. No, it's not 22. It's it's quite a ways past 22. It's 28. All right, 28 verse.
They're descending at verse 12. I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, let's start at verse 10. We'll just read quickly. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon, sound familiar? That's where Abraham started. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Now, before we, Jacob is an heir. He has an inheritance. And he's running. He's running away from his inheritance. Because he's so caught up in his performance. He didn't know that God had already, Abraham, Isaac, you're next in line, man. And he's running, trying to get away. And he says, he lays down and he says, verse 14. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. Do you think Abraham told him that?
Should have.
You think Isaac told him that?
Should have.
He did. And behold, I am what? With thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Verse 18, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again into my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. What's wrong with that statement?
He's going to bribe God.
Well, what's wrong with that statement?
There's a lot of things wrong with
this. What's the main thing wrong with that statement? Verse 15.
They ain't believe it.
Verse 15. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of to thee.
He still thinks he has to earn what God has already
He still given him. Thinks he has to work for what God had promised him. He says, Jacob, you are
a dummy.
An heir. You are an heir. You have this inheritance. Now, I said all that to say, where when it comes to, back to Galatians, when it comes to us, or to the Galatians, where God had, when he works that work, it's done. We have, the Galatians had become righteous, they had been blessed, they had the Spirit, they had become heirs, they had an inheritance by faith. It couldn't be changed. Why?
Because God said so.
Because God said so. Now, we're not in Galatia, but we've been promised too. Right? Mm-hmm. All these things we read through, like Paul said, was it written for Abraham's sake alone? No. It was written for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe. He says, look, I want to make you. That's what those books are for. He says, I want you to trust me. And the moment you trust me, just like the Galatians, you get the blessings. You are righteous. You get the Spirit. You become an heir. That's key. We're not there yet. But that's what he says. First thing is the legal paperwork has. You know, you go purchase a car. You just don't go up and say, give me that car. And he says, here. Here, go ahead. You don't jump in and drive off. He said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. There's what?
Certificate of title transfer.
What else?
Payment.
What else?
Just FedEx made the paperwork.
There's lots of, why? Ain't my word good?
Legal ownership.
Legal transaction. The transaction. I have to, you know what? You got to pay me. So I can give you this. If you don't pay me, you don't get. right? God says, my justice, you don't pay me for breaking this, you don't get this. So his son comes, he makes the payment. And he says, I can give this to anybody I want to, as long as they believe in me. Believest thou this? So, we're going to stop there because I'm right on time.
Yeah, you are, Frank. You are.
How about that? And we'll pick up next week at 3 and verse 18. Yep. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time we spend around your word. We didn't get as far as we would like to, but we know you can take those scriptures that we've read and impress them on our hearts and minds to give us a better understanding of your grace and your mercy, and also the righteousness that you have provided for us. We thank you once again for the time we spend here. We pray for all these here. Give us the hunger to study your word, to believe it, and to live it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.